Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava, text number 5. Navastavyam tvayai veha.
Navastavyam tvayai veha.
Maya jakte mahitale.
Maya jakte mahitale.
Jano badra ruchir badra.
Jano badra ruchir badra.
Bhavishyati kalo yuge.
Bhavishyati kalo yuge.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Vastavyam.
Vastavyam.
Should remain.
Should remain.
Twaya.
Twaya.
You.
Eva.
Eva. Certainly.
Certainly.
Iha.
Iha.
In this world.
In this world.
Maya.
Maya.
By me.
By me.
Jakte.
Jakte.
When it is abandoned.
When it is abandoned.
Mahitale.
Mahitale.
The earth.
The earth.
Janaha.
Janaha.
The people.
The people.
Abhadra.
Abhadra.
Sinful.
Sinful.
Inauspicious things.
Ruchihi.
Ruchihi.
Addicted to.
Badra.
Badra.
O you who are sinless.
O you who are sinless.
And auspicious.
And auspicious.
Bhavishyati.
Bhavishyati.
Will be.
Will be.
Kalo.
Kalo.
In Kali.
In Kali.
Yuge.
Yuge.
In this age.
In this age.
My dear Uddhava, you should not remain here on the earth once I have abandoned this world. My dear devotee, you are sinless, but in Kali Yuga the people will be addicted to all types of sinful activities, therefore do not stay here. Purport. In this age of Kali, human beings are totally unaware that the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes personally to the earth to manifest his transcendental pastimes as they are enacted in the spiritual world. Heedless of the authority of the Personality of Godhead, the fallen souls of Kali Yuga become engulfed in bitter quarrel and cruelly harass one another. Because people in Kali Yuga are addicted to polluted, sinful activities, they are always angry, lusty, and frustrated. In Kali Yuga, the devotees of the Personality of Godhead who are engaged in the ever-increasing loving service of the Lord should never be attracted to living on the earth, the population of which is covered in the darkest of ignorance, in the darkness of ignorance, and devoid of any loving relationship with the Lord. Thus Lord Krishna advises Uddhava not to remain on the earth in Kali Yuga. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord advises all living entities that they should never remain anywhere within the material universe during any age. Therefore, every living being should take advantage of the pressures of Kali Yuga to understand the overall useless nature of the material world and surrender himself at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Following in the footsteps of Sri Uddhava, one should surrender to Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Tadaktitva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vatsalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Lande Sri Gurum Dinakaranam. Krishna is instructing Uddhava on what he should do after Krishna leaves, because really Krishna's departure heralds the beginning of the Kali Yuga. And of all of the ages in the cycle of yugas, the Kali Yuga is considered to be the most inauspicious due to the fact that there is a higher level of abhadra here, abhadra. Things that are inauspicious, sinful behavior, abhadra. And so for those who are bhadra or auspicious, the sattvadas, the devotees, to stay in Kali Yuga is inadvisable because it's a very inauspicious age. Mridananda Maharaj quotes a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord advises all living entities that they should never remain anywhere within the material universe during any age. What verse is that? What do you think that verse is? Huh? He says it's even the Bhagavad Gita. That's the one I was thinking. Abrahma bhuvana loka puna avatino juna. That within the creation, from the top, from Lord Brahma's planet to the lowest of the planetary systems, or to the lowest of the different species of life, wherever you go, even if it's Satya Yuga, still the material creation is a place of birth and death, basically repeated birth and death. So it's samsara. So whether one is in a very elevated position in the material world or whether one's in a very degraded position, practically speaking, it's a place of suffering. But more so in the Kali Yuga, of course, that has its advantages. In the Kali Yuga, the quality or the condition of living of the living entities is very degraded. But at the same time, because of the appearance of Mahaprabhu, then he affords even the most fallen the greatest mercy, the greatest opportunity to be elevated to the topmost platform of spiritual realization, spiritual understanding. So, you know, it has its faults, but it also has its good qualities. What is it? Kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. In the Kali Yuga, it's considered to be an ocean of faults. There's so much wrong with the Kali Yuga, yet it has one redeeming quality, that is the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. And just through that very simple activity of chanting Hare Krishna, one can be elevated to the highest realization of spiritual achievement. That's the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and that's why he's described as being the most magnanimous Mahavadanyaya avatar, because he's giving Krishna prema pradayate, he's giving love of Krishna freely to anybody who's prepared to take it. Whoever's prepared to pay the price, and he'll just give it freely. So one shouldn't lament that one is in a fallen condition. Well, we should lament in one sense, but by the same token, we shouldn't lament to the point of, you know, dysfunction.
You know, so we should lament the fact that we're in a fallen condition, but we shouldn't, you know, keep on lamenting. We should do something about it. This reminds me when we came into Singapore on our return to Melbourne, there were queues, which is the first time I've ever experienced a queue at the immigration. And then when we came out, and also when we came up to this lady that was in the immigration officer, a teacher even came up with me, and then she said, "No, no, no," and sent my wife back just one at a time, which I've never experienced before. And I was pretty annoyed as a result of that. Queues, and you know, they were discriminating between me and my wife. So this is uncultured, and usually Singapore's not like that. So as I, when I came out, there were people taking surveys to get feedback on their, you know, on the experience. So this lady said, "What was your experience like on this scale of da 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 da?" And I said, "I was dissatisfied." She said, "Oh, you're dissatisfied. Why?" I said, "Well, there's a queue. I've never experienced a queue in this airport before." And she didn't like my answer. She didn't like it. She said, "Oh, so you're satisfied?" Which was number two. I said, "No, I'm not. I'm dissatisfied," which is number four. And she said to me, she said, "Are you an Australian?" I guess Aussies are most likely to complain. And then she just ignored me after that. She said, "Oh, all right, okay, thank you." And then let me go on my way. She didn't want to hear my complaints. I think we're a bit like that. You know, in Kali Yuga, we get all this sort of feedback. And sometimes the feedback that we get is very unpleasant. Our experiences are very unpleasant. But we just want to ignore it. We don't want to see our existence for what it is. Just like she didn't want to hear me complaining about that. Actually, ordinarily on a good day, I would have considered it a reasonable experience coming into an immigration queue. But I just happened to be a bit cranky. Maybe she realised that. But we like that. We're like that also. When we experience difficulties, we don't want to recognise the difficulties for what they are. And Kali Yuga is a little bit like that. The residents of Kali Yuga always trying to create a perfect environment in a situation which is far from perfect. And in fact, you know, those difficulties that we experience are actually a reminder for us. The material world is not a pleasant place to stay. We shouldn't be trying to make a perfect situation in a place which is just filled with faults. Kalev dosha nidhe rajan, as I was explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. So we shouldn't be trying to create a perfect situation. And there's plenty of evidence, plenty of indications that the material world is not a pleasant place. And we have so much experience of when we try to create a perfect situation, or when we try to satisfy our material desires in this imperfect situation, then what happens? Even if we're able to get what we want, what happens? We're not satisfied with it, and we want more. If we're fortunate enough to get what we want. Usually we don't get what we want, and so we just end up being frustrated. But then when we do get what we want, we're not satisfied, we want more. And so as a result of that, we again get frustrated. And instead of satisfying our desires, what happens? And you know, then become happy and peaceful. We just become more and more disturbed, and our desires increase and increase. So they don't go away; they just get worse. So you know, this kind of, and this is consistent feedback that we get from our experience in Kali Yuga, yet we don't listen to it. Just like this lady didn't want to listen to me complaining about their perfect setup in Singapore. So, Vrindananda Maharaj is saying here, every living being should take advantage of the pressures of Kali Yuga to understand the overall useless nature of the material world. Right? It's not a place to stay. Rather, we recommend, and Krishna encourages us, get out of the material world. Don't stay in it. And you know, our experience, and when we live in the community of devotees, then generally, because the devotees are cultivating the mode of goodness and cultivating knowledge, and as a result of the cultivation of knowledge, they good qualities manifest in the character and in the behaviour of the devotees. What's that? Vidya Vinaya Sampane, is it? Vidya Vinaya Sampane. And the good qualities that exist in the devotees, learning and culture, good behaviour, humility. Symptom of learning is humility. So when we live in the association of the devotees and we become accustomed to peaceful and gentle dealings between each other, but when we associate with non-devotees, then sometimes we get a rude awakening, rude shock. Yesterday I went to do a school program at a school in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, and you know, very often when we go to schools, we're going to private schools, and so we get to speak to some of the better, what should we say, more sophisticated class of people. But the suburb that I went to yesterday was one of the lesser cultured areas of Melbourne, so it was a real eye opener for me to, and echoes what it says here. The fallen souls of Kali Yuga become engulfed in bitter quarrel and cruelly harass one another. These are school kids, only 15 years old, but I saw this is what they were doing to each other. I was surprised because actually it reminded me of a lot of the kids that I used to go to school with, because my father used to, in order to get a promotion, he would go to the schools where nobody else would want to go. So I got the good fortune of being educated in some of the worst schools in South Australia. And, you know, ended up associating with some of the worst kids. You know, my parents would say, don't play with him, don't play with him, don't play with that one. Of course, you know, they were my next door neighbours. So who would I end up playing with? But the kids that my parents told me not to associate with. And I saw it. You know, they couldn't sit still. They couldn't listen to what I had to say. And there were always these side conversations going on between the kids. I was like, what's wrong with you guys? And, you know, very difficult to interest them in topics of a spiritual nature. You know, you can only get their attention when, you know, you tell them that you don't watch television. Right? And they go, oh, one of them said, I feel so sorry for you that you don't watch television. He said, that means you don't know about, I don't even know if I got it right, the life of Earl. And then one girl said to me, she says, you don't watch Scrubs? I said, I don't even know what Scrubs is. I was like, oh no, you poor person, you. How do you survive without a television? And you know, the only time you, well, on another occasion, one way of getting their attention is, you know, you tell them the four regulated principles. That's just like, no sex. And then, you know, the thing that they're interested in is, you know, what kind of underwear do you wear? That's the level of their consciousness, basically. Actually, the teacher explained it to me afterwards. She said, actually, the kids are on their best behaviour today. Wow, that's a relief. She said, they brought me to tears many times. And she said, out this way, you know, there's two types of people. There's cashed up bogans and bogans without money. I don't know if you know what a bogan means, low class people, basically. Which was, you know, it's a challenge when you have to speak to such people. Actually, they were, once, if you tolerate their misbehaviour and you just keep ploughing on, because they just test, I realised, they're just testing you. And if you ignore their misbehaviour and attention, you know, grabbing techniques, basically, that's what they're trying to do, and you persevere, then they actually do have some interest in what you're doing. When I showed them my beads, and they were looking at my bead bag, and they said, wow, that's cool. I mean, this is so, it's so external when you think about it, right? They like you because your bead bag is cool, and they want to touch your beads, you know. And one guy said to me, he said, you know, I want to become the Hare Krishna representative at the school. Can you get me some, can you get me some beads? No? So, anyway. Now, it just underlines these points that are made here. People in Kali Yuga are addicted to polluted, sinful activities. No? This is what they're, you know, their main interest is what kind of underwear you've got on. And one of them said to me, can you show us? this is the type of kids that are, they're out there. That's their big thing, the kind of underwear that they've got on. So, they're always angry, lusty and frustrated. These are the symptoms of people in Kali Yuga. The devotees of the personality of Godhead who are engaged in the ever-increasing love and service of the Lord should never be attracted to living on the earth. The population of which is covered in the darkness of ignorance. That I saw. In one sense it was lamentable, but then in another sense I thought it's good actually, because it's, you know, when we associate with the devotees we become accustomed to, you know, a very peaceful environment, on the whole, generally speaking. Our relationships in dealing with each other as devotees is very pleasing. But it's good for us also to experience the other side of Kali Yuga, right? And realise, you know, how people are actually suffering in this world. And how, you know, we shouldn't be attracted to that, to a materialistic lifestyle. Because there's actually no lasting satisfaction or pleasure in material pursuits. And you can see the end result is this degraded kind of mentality. In the people. Not everybody is like that, but there are a lot of people like that, which makes a real challenge for us, because we want those people to be like us, to experience the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna and associating with
the devotees and being engaged in devotional service. And to associate with such people is a real challenge, because you realise how far apart we are. Big challenge, actually. And, you know, the modern communication systems are geared towards exploiting people with that kind of mentality. That's the, you know, they actually encourage it. Yes, sex is the only way to have fun. Sport is, you know, second on the fun category. Driving a hot motor car. Huh? This is the kind of, this is where it's at out in the suburbs. Getting your boyfriend or getting your girlfriend. I remember the 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds. The boys would be 18 to 19 and the girls would be 15 to 16. And the boys used to basically attract the girls with their hot motor cars. This is Aussie culture, or lack of it. So how far away is that from a Krishna conscious lifestyle? So it's good in one sense to experience the depths of Kali Yuga, to realise what a challenge we have to actually elevate people out of this ignorance. We shouldn't become attracted, because not that devotees are attracted, but we can become attracted to the more subtle, sattvic elements of an advanced material lifestyle. But even an advanced material lifestyle still has its drawbacks. It still has its anxieties. It still has its frustrations. And ultimately, as it's mentioned, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Avachino Juna. We're all going to have to take birth again. We all have to die. Every one of us has to die. And each one of us will have to take birth again, unless and until we're able to re-establish our loving relationship with Krishna. Of course, that's the real benefit of Kali Yuga, that even though there are so many faults and the people are very covered over, whether they're covered over by ignorance or they're covered over by passion, or there's a covering of goodness, they're very much ignorant of their spiritual identity. And you know, we shouldn't become enamored by the so-called, or the attractions or the allurements of the material energy, especially in Kali Yuga. It's graphic, it's detailed. It's very easy to see the faults, and as a result of that, then we have a great opportunity to take advantage of the simple process of devotional service. It is not very complicated. It is actually quite easy, especially if we become adept or accustomed to an expert in chanting Hare Krishna. Very simple process, but extremely powerful. And by chanting Hare Krishna, we can be elevated out of this ignorance and elevated above these unwanted qualities to the level of Krishna Prema. We can experience it this morning. We're having a very pleasant kirtan. And, you know, it makes everybody ecstatic. It's very simple. And that way Lord Chaitanya is giving Krishna Prema, especially in the kirtan. This is specifically Lord Chaitanya's mercy. You know, it's described in the Nectar of Devotion how Krishna Prema is automatically experienced, even by a person who doesn't have faith in the process of devotional service, in five items, the kirtan being one of them, in the association of the devotees,
hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, residing in a sacred place. So, very powerful. So we should understand the, as it says here, the overall useless nature of the material world, and value then the association of the devotees and the practice of devotional service. Even though in those activities there are challenges. But we shouldn't mistake the challenges in devotional service to be the same as the faults of activities in material life. The difficulties in devotional service are actually for our purification. And they're put in our path by Maya, if you like, but Maya acting as Krishna's agent to purify the devotees, to strengthen them. So we should value the process of devotional service, even if there are challenges. The difficulties are actually put in our path to make us strong and to help us make advancement, to detach ourselves. Usually, you know, we're experiencing some difficulty because we have a strong attachment to something that Krishna wants us to give up. So we have to then appreciate sometimes when there's some difficulty or we're getting some negative feedback, but actually that's a positive thing because it's highlighting an area where we have some weakness or some fault, and so we need to work on that to relieve ourselves of the attachments. The more we are attached to things in the material world, or even as little, Prabhupada says, you know, just a little percentage of attachment means we have to stay in the material world. So those difficulties are actually opportunities for us to release ourselves from the attachments to material existence and to strengthen our resolve in devotional service and in establishing our relationships with our relationship with Krishna. So Krishna's encouraging Uddhava, don't become attracted to material existence, become fixed. Of course, Uddhava already is fixed in devotional service, but in instructing Uddhava, as Krishna also instructed Arjuna, he's also instructing us. So he's saying, take advantage of the difficulties of Kali Yuga to understand the uselessness of material existence, and take advantage of the process of devotional service and surrender to Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Chanting and dancing. Yeah, I think so. That's what, you know, festivals, entertain them. You know, that's why Indrajuna Maharaj's program, I mentioned this before in December. Indrajuna Maharaj's program is an interesting one because there's just a lot of entertainment there for people. You know, basically, a lot of the dancing is just pure Bollywood. Right? Seriously, that's what it is. But people like it. I think, oh, yeah, this is really good. You know. So, and you know, yoga, stand on your head type stuff is just gymnastics. In fact, you know, Prabhupada preaches against it in the Bhagavatam. You know, these are not real, they're not real achievements as such. But, you know, by demonstrating, by entertaining people, we're able to attract their attention And then by being able to attract their attention, we're then able to inject a little bit of philosophy, a little bit of Krishna consciousness, a little bit of a more sattvic lifestyle. And not only that, well, a number of things, that's one thing. Another thing is that, you know, people get the association of the devotees, and that's very special, because the devotees aren't attracted to, you know, watching television. For us, you know, watching television is sort of like, what are you wasting your time for? So that has an impact on people. You know, what they put high value in, we see it as something useless. So that actually affects people. They think, well, the Hare Krishna people are different. But at the same time, you know, if we show them our human side, that we also have a personality, you know, then that becomes attractive. You know, the good qualities of the devotees are actually very attractive. So by association, by some philosophy, by, you know, attracting people to Krishna consciousness through just basically entertainment, then, you know, gradually people's consciousness will change. Book distribution. You know, Prabhupada encouraged book distribution. Even if people just touch the book, Prabhupada says they get benefit. But of course the hope is that one day they'll open up the book and actually read it. Right? But you know, I'm sure most of these people, they'll open up the book, they'll read it, and they'll go, ooh. And they'll close it and put it back in the bookshelf. That happened to me. I remember I was at my friend's place, and I remember opening up the Nectar of Devotion and reading some of the pastimes of Krishna, and I was thinking, woo. Just put it back in the shelf. I couldn't understand it. And it wasn't until I came into the Association of Devotees that I could actually appreciate these things. And one of the things that I've been thinking about the last few months, I was talking to one gentleman who was coming to the temple. He's chanting, and he's a yogi, and he was explaining to me his first experience when he came to the temple. And he said, you know, offering prostrations was okay. I got used to that, right? So then he said, and I was asking, you know, what was your experience when you first came to the temple? And he said, massive culture shock. Right? Now, for most of us, coming to the temple is not culture shock, especially from the Indian background, Indian family, Indian culture. Coming to the temple is just what you do. But for Western people, coming to the temple is a rare and exotic event. And bowing down on the floor in front of, or to anybody, you just don't do it. Right? And he said, well, I was okay with that. But he said, when I saw the dolls, you know, I completely... So when he saw the deities, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? So my realization is that a lot of people haven't had the experience, the spiritual experience that we've had, or that we have. And not only that, they don't have a vocabulary to describe spiritual experience. They don't have it. Deities don't exist, offering your obeisances, these kind of behaviours that we consider very normal are so foreign to the Western mindset. Huh? And we forget it. You know, I've been a devotee for nearly 30 years. So I've forgotten the challenges that I experienced when I first came to the temple. You know what I mean? So that's a lot of the population that we're dealing with. They don't have an understanding or even an experience of these things. Neither do they have a vocabulary to describe them. So we've got to... Yet there's an interest in today's society there's definitely been a shift in consciousness. So we've got to think of ways to bring people into an environment where we can actually educate them, give them an experience, and then also give them a vocabulary by which they can describe their experience. And so they can actually connect. It's a big challenge, actually. So how to do that? There are many devotees trying to work out exactly how to do that. That's why, you know, going to this school was a real blast, if you like, for me, because it just made me realise how far away, you know, how close to the animal species of life people really are in some sections of society. And how, you know, elevated some others are just naturally by their birth, by their culture, by their upbringing. And yet, you know, we have to, you know, the majority of society falls into the, you know, the nether species, basically. Practically speaking, you know, they're almost not in the human form of life. What is it? Dvipada pasu. Right? Two-legged animals. So we've got to get two-legged animals up to the human's form of life, into the human species. So Harinam is purifying, prasadam distribution, book distribution, the association of the devotees. And the association of the devotees in a way that is, you know, beneficial for people. Right? So that's a real challenge. Especially when, you know, they're just interested in what kind of underwear you've got on. Crazy. Challenges. Well, that's interesting because, you know, the devotees would complain to Prabhupada about, you know, getting up early in the morning and chanting their rounds. And, you know, Prabhupada said, what's the difficulty? You know, for Prabhupada, this is just what you do. This is normal life, right? The challenges for Prabhupada was, you know, how to make the universe Krishna conscious. That's the real challenge. But for us, it's like, you know, just chanting 16 rounds. But for Prabhupada, that was like, well, what's the problem? Get up, chant! And enjoy! Because, as Prabhupada says, you know, on the Uttam platform, chanting Hare Krishna is the most enjoyable thing you can do. For us, it's like, you know, it's a struggle. We can't sit still for that long. So, you know, each one of us will have a challenge. And it'll be a different challenge according to our particular modes of material nature that we've acquired and the circumstance and the situation, stage of life that we happen to be in. You know, the problems of married man with children and a job and a mortgage and all of that sort of things are different to the problems of a unmarried, you know, single person. The problems of a grandparent are different to the problems of a married couple. There's all different problems. But many of the problems that we experience are actually not problems at all, it's just problem in the mind. Huh? And because we think, oh, I want this or I want that, and I haven't got it, so I'm not happy. Whereas for the devotees, the pure devotees, they're unhappy because they're not Krishna conscious. That's their disarray, if you like. I'm not thinking of Krishna. I'm not able to render service. So it's, you know, there's almost unlimited problems in material existence. So how do you solve those problems? Huh? That's the question? Yeah, well, I don't have the answer. Well, for the devotees, basically, sadhana is our solution. And also, you know, the different stages of our existence are actually for our purification. So the struggle for existence, say for a householder, is actually his purification. So that by the time, you know, you get to 50, 55, 60, and your kids are grown up and they've gone to school and they're embarking on their careers, you're detached from it. Right? Because you've struggled and, you know, worked hard for the things that you thought would make you happy, and you're still not happy. Right? And the real happiness comes from your spiritual life. From the devotees, that's where the real happiness comes from. The real happiness for us is to be in a kirtan. And the real happiness is to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and to, you know, have some realization in Krishna consciousness. That's our satisfaction and happiness, actually. Because we're not going to get satisfaction and happiness from material endeavors. Right? You know, your boys will be a source of great happiness for you, but they'll also be the source of great frustration. I don't know if you've noticed yet. Huh? So, you know, the different, that's why, you know, Prabhupada encourages Varnashram, because that means we engage people according to their nature and their propensities and their different stages of life that they happen to be at. So, you know, basically between 1 to 25 we deal with people in a particular way. Then between 25, you know, householders, we deal with them in another way. And then in a more retired lifestyle, then we deal with them in another way. Because generally at that stage of life, one is learned, right, as a result of one's experience. And then, of course, at the end stage, one should be then renounced as a result of that understanding of things. Right? So the different stages of existence and the difficulties that we endure in those different stages are actually for our purification. And we balance our material pursuits by our spirit, by our sadhana, by chanting Hare Krishna, by studying the Shastra, by worshipping the deities, by engaging in Sankirtan. And especially for us, preaching. Right? That's really important for the devotees. Manaswami was explaining the other day. Nama Ruchi, a taste of chanting Hare Krishna, and Jiva Doi, being merciful to others, is very important features of the followers of Mahaprabhu. Huh? So, you know, we have our material responsibilities, family, business, social responsibilities, but then we also have our spiritual responsibilities, and they are of prime importance, actually, and they help us then make sense of all the other things that we're doing. So that's how we solve our problems. Not that we get rid of problems. You know, one of my friends was, there was a two devotees, Raja Sevaki, who actually was She was a Brahmacharini here in Melbourne. Her and her husband were in a really bad car accident in Calcutta on Thursday, I think it was. Yeah, Thursday morning. And one of the devotees was saying to me, you know, I don't like to see Krishna separate from our reactions, but how can Krishna be part of this? You know, they're devotees. And how can they, you know, be in this very difficult situation? They're almost killed. And I made a comment to her that, you know, every one of us is actually heading towards this destination. We're all ultimately coming to death at some point in time. And, you know, whether it's a peaceful death or it's a shocking, you know, we leave our body in a car accident, it's never going to be pleasant. But it's we're all heading towards it. And you know, this underlines this point that's been made in the purport, that, you know, material existence is a mess, basically. And Krishna's arranged it like that for our purification. And so that's why the spiritual aspect of our life is the most important, because that helps us make sense of all of the other things that are going on. Anything else? Okay, we can finish here. Andraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai.